Well, we're going to be over in Psalm 37 tonight. I love Psalm 37. The Lord started dealing with my heart this week about this message, and I want to give you my heart tonight. And I don't know exactly how all this is going to go. I might teach it a little bit, and I might preach it a little bit. I'm not sure which direction God wants to go with it, but a lot of times, if we're not careful, we make decisions for our lives. Now, I'm saying if we're not careful, we'll make decisions in our lives based on what everybody else is doing, based on the world's view. And even though the view from the world may seem to be like a pretty good view, it may seem like a pretty good thing. It may not really seem that bad. But sometimes, if we're not real careful, we can make the wrong decision. You say, well, preacher, why is it wrong decision? Because it's simply not the will of God. I want to tell these young people tonight, I really prayed last night and this morning and all day today, off and on, that God would really get our young people in here tonight. I wish there was more of them here, but I'm going to try to help the ones that are here tonight. And I'm going to try to help the older ones as well and do my very best to try to be a blessing to you and be a help to you tonight. But I want to bring you a message tonight on this thought on finding the will of God for our lives. I believe that's the most important thing that we could do. Once we've been saved, once we've been born again, the most important thing that you and I can do is to find the will of God for our lives and get in it and stay there and stay in our place. Amen? If we're not careful, the sandballots will come along and try to pull you down off the wall. Amen? They'll come along and try to discourage you and get you down and get you to thinking about something over here yonder somewhere, and you'll even get to looking at the world. And that's sort of where this psalmist is coming from, and I believe it was David here. But it's as though he is talking to somebody. When you read this, it's as though he's talking to somebody that has got their eyes on the way the world does things and instead of how God is doing things. Amen? And if we're not real careful, especially, and I guess this is why it's so heavy on my heart about the young people. Because, you know, I'm getting older now, and a lot of you are getting older, and you know I don't mean anything by that. But we're all getting older, and most of us here that are probably past our 30s, we're pretty well set in our ways, and we're pretty well set. And not to say we won't change on anything, but I'm saying our course, for the most part, is pretty well set. I mean, we're going a particular direction, and God may take us a different direction. Don't misunderstand me. He can do that. But our young people tonight are in the most critical phase of their life. The most critical time in their life is right now when they're making decisions about what classes to take in school because of their career. Huh? About what boy to date or what girl to date because they're looking for a mate. Amen? These are critical, critical times in our youth. And I'm honest, and I don't think there's anything wrong with praying about this. I've already started asking God to let me preach this to young people. To let me preach this sermon, this message right here, to groups of young people. And I want you to help me pray about that, because I'd love to be able to take this message as the Lord sees fit. I've never, in all the years I've preached, I've never one time asked for a place to preach. The only one I've ever asked for a place to preach is my boss, the Lord Jesus Christ. I've asked Him for places to preach. Amen. And I believe He can open the doors. But it's on my heart tonight. And I love young people and I love all folks. But this message right here is dealing with the will of God in our lives. Now I want you to notice verse number 1 and 2. Look, we're going to use those as our springboards. And that'll sort of give us our setting. And then we're not going to preach every verse of this. There's certain things here that the Lord's laid on my heart that He's given me for the message tonight. And I've got about 6 things here, so I'm going to move as quickly as I can through them. But I want to give you what the Lord's put on my heart about finding the will of God for our lives. Now, let's just go ahead and get this nailed down. You either want the will of God for your life or you don't. Okay? If you want the will of God tonight, this will help you. But if you don't really want the will of God in your life, then this is not really going to do as much for you. What you really need to do is get off somewhere, just you and the Lord, and get your heart where you need to be with God and start digging around and saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? Amen. You need to get to that place where you are willing to take the will of God, whatever it is. Amen. No matter what it is. You see, most folk don't want to fool with that because they're afraid to give God a blank check and say, write it, Lord, however you want. I know young preachers are that stalled out, or not stalled out, but they stalled from answering the call because they was afraid of what God might do to them or where God might put them. Amen? And even some people will be cautious about doing things with their children because they're afraid that God might call them into the mission field. So they won't expose them to a whole lot of the things of God. And they'll sort of keep them at a distance and keep them to themselves. Amen? But we need to find the will of God for our lives. Now look here in verse number 1. Now notice this. This is if he's talking to somebody that has got their focus or their eyes on the things of this world. Look what he said in verse number 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to say thank you again for the privilege to be here tonight. I thank you for bringing Brother David by here, Lord. It's always a blessing to see him, Lord. We count it a privilege to have him in the service tonight. We pray that something we could say or do might encourage him. Lord, we thank you for using him in the way that you have and for opening the doors for him. God, we pray that you'd continue to open many, many doors for him, Lord, that he might go forth and preach and glorify your precious name and just spend his life for you. And Lord, we pray now that you'd help each one of us here tonight, God. You know what we need. And Lord, I can't look into the hearts or the minds of any of these precious folk here tonight. But I'm so glad you can, Lord. And I pray that you'd search all of our hearts tonight. I pray, dear Jesus, that you'd move and work in each one of our minds and our hearts tonight. And God, that we might bring glory and honor to you. And Lord, help me as we try to stand here, Lord, to be able to give the people what's on my heart. Lord, I have a hard time finding the words sometimes. And so, Lord, I ask you to help me tonight and give me the words to say that'll be a help and a blessing to them. Lord, you know what's on my heart. You know what you've put on me. And dear God, I just pray that you'd get it off. Lord, that you'd preach through us tonight. Now, we thank you. We love you. God, please help our young people tonight. Lord, we love them. And wherever they're at tonight, those that are not here, we ask you to please help them. We thank you now. We love you. And we praise you for all that you do. And we ask all these things now in your precious and holy name for your sake. Amen. I want you to bear in mind as we go through this message tonight, finding the will of God for our lives. Amen. Finding the will of God for our lives. Now, of course, the psalmist here, I believe it was David, was talking here under the inspiration of the Spirit. And he says to fret not thyself because of evildoers. Now, it's obvious that whoever he's speaking to must be fretted over the evildoers. They must be looking out, and if we're not real careful, listen to me now, if we're not real careful tonight, we'll get our eyes on the things that the worldly crowd is doing, amen. We get to watching sometimes, and we see how they seem to prosper. We look at our president up there, and it seems as though that he can just do anything he wants to do, and there's no repercussions. And it seems like other people in the world, these multimillionaires, they can do whatever they want to do, and it doesn't seem to be any repercussions. And we get to watching and seeing these things, and what's worse than that, our young people get to watching these things, and they get to seeing these things, and in the back of their mind, they're thinking, man, that's what it is to be successful. And that's what it is to make something out of your life. And if we're not real careful, even as parents, we'll even encourage that sometimes. Because we'll go around and we'll get the mully grubs because we don't have all the things that those folks out there do. But David said right here, to fret not thyself because of evil doers. Amen. And so to find the will of God, he lists some things through here. He begins to give us some instruction, if you will, that'll help us to find the perfect will of God for our lives. Amen? And so I want you to notice this. He says here to fret not thyself of evildoers. And so what we need to realize tonight is we don't need to be looking at all the other things that are going on. And we need to get our focus right back here. Get our focus on Jesus and get quiet. I heard an older preacher say one time, he had a young priest, this preacher's probably in his 80s. He said he had a young preacher come to him one time and said, "Preacher, I want to do something for God." He said, "I want to do what you want me to do. How do I find the will of God for my life?" And that's a good, noble question. And I've asked that question myself. And I've talked to older preachers that have been in the ministry much longer than I have. And I've asked that same question myself. And I remember what this old preacher said. He said, "What you need to do, young preacher, is to get you upon a cornbread and go back up in the woods somewhere, just you and that piece of bread and the Bible and maybe a bottle of water, and spend about a day or two up there in the woods somewhere and just get along with God with nothing around you and nothing to distract you, nothing to get your mind on anything else, just you and God and you and God alone, amen, and nothing else." He said, "That's what you need to do." Now, whether that young preacher ever done that or not, I don't know, but I thought that was pretty good advice, amen. And I've experienced some things in my own life, and the only way that I could have experienced those things is by getting along with God. Amen. He said to fret not thyself because of evildoers. I want you to notice the first thing that you and I need to do, and I've already sort of alluded to it anyhow. He says right here, he gives us a reminder in verse number 2. He said, "They shall soon be cut down like the grass," amen, "and wither as the green herb." They're not going to stay up forever, folk. They're not going to stay up there and ride that cloud forever. One of these days, they're coming down, and when they come down, they're going to come down hard, amen. And so the reason I'm going to all this lengths to tell you that is to show you that the picture that the devil will paint to you and me and to our young people tonight, the picture that he'll paint is that, boy, if you can just get up there where they're at, everything will be all right, and everything will work out. Everything will be smooth sailing. You won't have to worry about your bills anymore. You won't have to worry about anything. Everything will just fall in place. But God said right here, he said their end is going to be a desolation, if you will. He said their end will be a fall. Amen. They're going to come down. Amen. So I want you to notice in verse number 3, we see the first thing that you and I need to do if we're going to find the perfect will of God. Notice what he said in verse number 3. Trust in the Lord. Amen. He said to trust in the Lord and do good. Amen. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily, that's a promise, folk. That's a promise that he's given us. He said, if you'll do this, he said, that so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. You know the number one thing I want to do to my children besides get them to heaven with me? You know what I want to do for them in their flesh while they're here? I want to make sure they're fed, amen? I want to make sure my family's took care of. He said, if you'll just trust in the Lord and do good, he said, all of this is going to be took care of, amen. I got to thinking about that word trust right here, and what he's really saying is this. He says to trust in the Lord, but this, to go along with the message of what we're talking about, think about it like this. He's saying to trust our lives with the Lord, amen. Take your life and put it in his hands, amen, and just simply trust the Lord with your life. Amen. If we're going to find the perfect will of God in our lives, the first thing that you and I are going to have to do is to trust the Lord with our lives. Amen. And we're going to have to look out there and say, God, I know you got this. I know that you've put me here. I know that you're going to take care of me. I know that you saved me. I know that you put me here. And I'm trusting you, Lord, to see me through. No matter what it might be, no matter what the devil might throw at you, you've got to trust the Lord with your life. Amen. You're going to have to trust the Lord. I'm going to have to trust the Lord with our lives. Amen. Did you know that you only find the word faith two times in the Old Testament? When you study it out, you'll find out the word trust is predominant in the Old Testament, where faith is predominant in the New Testament. Amen. And so, but when you run references on both of them and you look at what they both mean the very same thing. Amen. Faith in the New Testament means the same thing as trust in the Old Testament. Amen. That word trust means this. Let me give this to you right quick. The word trust simply means to be confident, sure, bold, and careless. Now, he's not talking about carelessness and foolishness, but it means to just be carefree. It just means to be, you know what? God's got this. I'm not going to worry about it. God's going to take care of this. Just to not have careless. Listen, careless means to not have a care in the world. Why? Why should we not have a care? Because he said, casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. God just simply wants us to come and trust him with our lives. Amen. Amen. Now that word faith, if you look it up in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 6. In verse number 6, notice what he said. Hebrews 11 and 6. I wore my tie's a little too tight. My shirt's a little too tight tonight. I didn't think I was going to get to preaching. But anyhow, you pray for me. I might pass out here. If I do, David, you just pick it up and run. Verse number 6 here in Hebrews chapter 11. He said, but without faith, notice this, without faith it is impossible. Now what does impossible mean? It don't take no Greek scholar to figure this out, amen. The word impossible just means it can't be done. It's as simple as that, amen. It just means it can't be done. He said right here, without faith, it cannot be done to please him. You're not going to please God without faith, simple as that. He said, notice this now, for he that cometh to God must, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that, not just a little bit, not just this or that or the other, not just while it's comfortable, not while it's convenient. He said, you must. Must what? Believe. You see that? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's that pone of cornbread, amen, and a bottle of water going back up in the woods somewhere, amen. We've sometimes just got to get off to ourselves and get detached from the world. That's what I love about Light on the Mountain Youth Camp. Brother Melton down there, he says, don't bring your cell phone. Don't bring any of that junk from home. We're going to just detach from everything. We're not going to let you call home unless it's an emergency. And we're just going to give you Jesus for a whole week, amen. I thank God for some folk that'll give somebody a Jesus for a whole week. Amen. I want to tell you, that's what we need tonight. It's going to take more than just 15 or 20 minutes a day. We're going to have to get along with God and say, dear God, what is it that you want me to do? And we're going to have to come to the place in our life where we say, God, I'm ready to trust you with my life. Amen. Amen. Going to have to trust him with our lives, amen. So the first thing we need to realize tonight, if we're going to go for God, and if we're going to be in the center of God's will and finding God's will, listen to me, we're going to have to trust the Lord with our lives, amen. Amen. Look at the next one now. Let's move on. I always get hung up on the first point, seems like. Verse number 4. This thing's been bottling up on me for the last 2 or 3 days. I got to get it out, amen. Notice what he said in verse number 4 now. The next thing you need to do. You see this? Delight thyself also in the Lord. If we're going to find the will of God, listen to me, We're going to have to delight ourselves in the Lord. Let's finish reading it. And He shall give thee the desires. I'm talking about finding the will of God for your life. He said if you'll delight your way in Him, or yourselves in Him, He said He'll give you the desires of thine heart. Now I want to deal with that first part first right quickly. He said for us to delight our way in Him. Now what does it mean to delight? Well, let me tell you what the word delight means, amen. It means to be soft. It means to be pliable, amen. It means to be able to be plied, amen. What does that mean? To be applied. In other words, what we are, we're just like a little piece of we're like that memory foam. Everybody know what memory foam is? I got it on my bed. Thank God for it. It feels pretty good. It'll feel good tonight. But anyhow, listen, that memory foam, you know what it does? It contours to the shape of your body. And listen tonight, listen, you know what it is to be filled with the Spirit, amen? It means that God is going to pour inside of you and you're going to take His image. Amen. You're going to be pliable. You're going to be where that you can be soft. Amen. You're not going to be rigid and hard. Now listen to me. Listen real good. Amen. I'm not talking about hard preaching. Amen. I'm talking about the individual that's standing in front of God and God wants to do something with them and they just don't argue with Him. Amen. And they say, God, whatever it is that you want to do with my life, I am ready, Lord. I want to do what you'd have me to do. Amen. That is being pliable. So often I've told the Lord, Lord, use me today. I've went to Him and said, Lord, I want you to use me today. Let me be a light and a witness. And the Holy Ghost will stop me dead in my tracks. And He'll remind me and He'll say, I tried to use you yesterday, but you weren't pliable. I tried to use you yesterday when I told you to give that gospel tract to that individual. And you said no. Or when I told you to tell that one over there on down the street that they needed a Savior and that I loved them, but you wouldn't do it. And then God, I have to just say, God, I'm sorry. I know I'm just, and I realize right quick that I'm just mimicking the words. I'm just saying the words because when it comes right down to it, when the rubber meets the road, if your actions don't prove it out, it won't be a thing, amen. Amen. He said to delight your way in the Lord. Now what is it to delight your way in the Lord? Well, it's to be pliable, but I want to give you a biblical definition. Look in Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. Flip over now. I ain't got time. Let's go. Isaiah 58. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just hurrying. I want you to see this for your own self. Amen. I want you to read this for your own self. Look at verse 13. Isaiah 58, verse number 13. Notice this. Now get a hold of this. Talking about delighting thyself in the Lord. He says, let's just read verse 14 first so you know where I'm going. But we're going to back up to verse 13. Look at verse 14. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. Well, that statement's there because there's something before that. Now let's look at verse number 13. Look at verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure. Amen. That means doing things you want to do. Now, does this sound pliable or what? I mean, this is just conforming, amen. This is just doing what you're supposed to do. That's all it is. He said right here, he said, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. Notice this, and call the Sabbath a delight. Now, I realize we don't worship on the Sabbath in that sense. I realize that the Sabbath, we don't do that. We worship on the first day of the week. I full well recognize that. But look at the principle that's behind this. The fact that there is a holy day. And now we do that on the first day of the week. We call it Sunday. Amen. And we come in together and we worship as the original church did. And we gather together on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. And that is the holy day. Amen. That's the day that we set aside to worship our Savior. Amen. I realize, I know some hypocritical Pharisee will come along and say, well, you're supposed to worship Him every day. I'll buy that for a dollar. I'll buy that, but this is the only day that we're able to come together, amen, as Christians. come together and forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together. Amen. On Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Amen. Let's finish reading here. I got to move on. He said, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight. In other words, you like it. Amen. You don't have to make yourself go to church. Notice this. The holy of the Lord, honorable. Now notice this. And shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure. Now notice what he said. Not finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Now get a hold of this. You've got to get a hold of this. Amen. He said that you're not going to be doing what you want to do, but you're going to be doing what God wants you to do. Verse 14 says, then, after you've done these things, he said, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. Now, that brings us to the second part of our verse. The first part was, he said, if thou delight thou, he said, delight thyself also in the Lord. What does that mean? It means to be pliable. It means not doing thine own will, but doing the will of God. Amen. Doing what God wants us to do. But then look at the next part of this. He shall give you, notice this, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now listen, does this mean that if I want a new Harley Davidson motorcycle, that if I'll just go to church regular and do everything God tells me to do, that one of these days, boy, God will just give me a Harley Davidson? Well, he might do it, but I don't really want a Harley Davidson anyway. But anyway, I just use that as an example. I wouldn't have one. They're too much trouble. Anyhow, but listen, but is that what he means? Well, it might be partially, but I don't think that's the full meaning. When you run the word delight down, looking at Isaiah 58, you find out that when we begin to do the things of God, when we begin to look, instead of doing our own pleasure, amen, not doing thine own pleasure, but doing the things that please the Father, then he will give you the right desires. He will give you those desires. And those desires will be pleasing unto the Father. That's what he means in Romans and chapter number 8 and verse number 26 when he says that the Holy Ghost is making intercession for us, and we know not how to pray. We don't know how to pray a lot of times. But if we're delighting our way in the Lord, if we're giving it over to God, he will give us the desires, amen, of our hearts.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Yes, sir.
Sometimes, if we're not real careful, you preachers know I'm telling the truth, we do it, and sometimes even as Christians we do it. If we're not real careful, we'll come along and we'll put so much on people to find the, let me put it like this. We'll put so much, now I'm not talking about just preachers. Parents, we parents do it sometimes to our children. Sometimes we do it to the children, may do it to their friends. Sometimes we do it to our friends and co-workers, and we expect more out of them. If we're not, listen to me carefully now. If we're not real careful, we'll put so much pressure on them to do right, to do all of these things, that it never becomes a desire in their heart.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
But if we let the Holy Ghost work it in them, and they delight their way and they begin to do the things of God,
amen,
God will begin to work those desires into their hearts, and then he'll begin to give those things to them.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
So it's not only all those fleshly, worldly things. I'm going to be honest with you. Listen to me carefully. I don't want the same things today that I wanted 5 years ago, Brother Gary. I don't. I feel like, I'm not bragging on me, I feel like that I'm closer to God today than I was 5 years ago. I'm not in the same place as I was 5 years ago. Amen. Some of you have testified to that. I don't do the same thing. But listen to me, I don't have the same desires. You know why? Because I'm in a different place with God. Because, listen to me, because I've delighted my way in Him and He gave me a whole new set of desires. And now those desires are lining up with the Word of God. And they're not selfish and fleshly and worldly, but they're godly and holy and righteous. Amen. I want the will of God for my life. I don't care what everybody else says. Don't care what everybody else is doing. I want to do the will of God. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Gary and I can contest to this. And you too, Brother David. We always want to make sure we got the right message.
Yes, sir.
Nothing wrong with that. I believe we ought to study, pray, beg God, and get along with God and know that we've got the right message. Listen to me. What did Jesus tell Peter? The zeal of thine house hath eaten thee up. He said, do you not know that it is written that the zeal of thine house hath eaten thee up? And I'm using us preachers as examples, but this can apply to anything. Finding the will of God. We want to be sure we find the will of God on the message. I'm using this as an illustration. And sometimes we will put so much pressure on ourselves to find the right message that it just worries us, it discourages us, it gets us down. We even get so far, I know I do, maybe y'all probably don't do this, but I do. I say, God, don't you know I'm supposed to preach in a little while and you ain't even give me a message yet? We say stupid stuff like that, amen. But listen, that's just an illustration, but it can apply to so many different things. Listen! If you're right, listen to me carefully. I'm going to give you something right here. God, give me this. If our hearts are right with God and we're delighting our way in Him, don't beat yourself down, but follow your heart.
Amen.
Follow your heart. Because your heart has been changed. It's not wicked and vile and wretched anymore. Because Jesus moved in, if you're a Christian tonight. If you've been saved. If you've been born again. You follow your heart. Why? Because God said if you delight your way in Him, He will give you the desires of your heart. I got to move on. I'm not going to be able to continue this next week. We're going to be in revival. Not only that, look what else. Delight thyself in the Lord. Got to be soft and pliable, ready to do the will of God. Look at verse 5. This is one you can't get most Baptists to do. I'm going to tell you what. I had just about as many other denominations last Friday and Saturday as I did Baptists. Oh, yes, I had some Moravians. And some Pentecostals, there's even some lost people down there. I had some liberals down there holding an Israeli flag. Can you believe that? You know why I couldn't, Brother Gary, you know why that I couldn't get Baptists to do it? Because they won't commit. Well, if it's convenient, if I don't have anything else going, if I don't have anything else comes up, he says right here, commit. You see that, verse 5? If we want the will of God for our lives, He says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also, there's that trust again. Trust also in Him, and He shall. Brother, there ain't no doubt about that. He said, He shall bring it to pass. Do you know what that word commit means? It means this. It means to roll. It means to roll. When I looked at that, I said, Lord, to roll? How in the world? And then He began to remind me, when you think about something rolling, it's got to be round. Huh? If something's rolling and it's round, that means it never has an end. We've used this illustration, haven't we, with our wedding bands? I've heard you say it, Brother Garrett. I've used it myself. When we marry people, we'll take that wedding band and we'll show how that it's never ending. And we say that signifies the never-ending commitment between a man and a woman when they get married.
That's right.
Amen? Divorce is not an option. Death is, but divorce is not.
That's right.
Amen? Listen. He said, commit thy way unto the Lord. That word commit means to roll.
Yes, sir.
It means to put it on. Look at Proverbs 16:3. I'm going to hit this and move on. 16:3. Commit thy works. Proverbs 16:3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Brother Gary, how many times have we just been running going, well, do I do it like this, or do I do this? Do I do this, or do I do this? Or do I do this, or do I do this? There's nothing wrong with that. We go through that sometimes. We want to just make sure that we've got the will of God and we're doing it. But He said to commit thy way. Now, I'm going to show you something here in just a minute that will really help you and encourage all of us. Sometimes we do make the wrong decision. But God will lift us up in that too if we have done it the way God said to do it. Amen? Let's keep on now. He said to commit. In other words, it's never ending. When we do something for the Lord, whenever we decide that we're going to go on for God, when we come to the Lord, we say, and do just like the Apostle Paul, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It is a commitment that is never ending. Lord, I'll do it for 2 weeks and then I got to get back to my old life again. No. When God called me to preach, that was one of the things that I held on to. I said, once I get in this thing, there ain't no getting out. You reach the point of no return. Yes, sir. That's what commitment is. Amen. I remember when I was in the military in the Air Force, and we would fly so far across the pond. We'd be going across the Atlantic to wherever over there, and there's a certain point where you cross over and it's closer to just keep going on than it is to turn around and go back. If it's 3,000 miles, once you reach that 1,500 mile mark, it's easier just to keep on going like you're going. Amen? It's easier, it's safer, if you will. It's shorter just to keep going in the same direction. Amen? So many folks want to start something and then they want to get part of the way through it and just give up on it. Amen? When you go for God, you've got to be committed. Amen? And as you get to that point of no return. Amen? That's where we got to get. We got to get to the point of no return with God. That's what commitment is. Amen? That's why the crowds are so low. Listen to me. That's why the crowds are so low on Wednesday night. Because you got people on Sunday morning, Sunday night that are not committed to the church. I said they're not committed to the church. I don't care what you think about me. They are not committed to the church. Because they're not here tonight. Amen. And until they get committed, I realize their circumstances. I'm glad to see Brother Jimmy here tonight. What'd you do, brother? Did you get off work tonight? Praise the Lord, brother. Look where you're at tonight, though. You're here because you can be here, amen. Now, Brother Jimmy works a lot of time, and I know there's some folks that have to work, but let me tell you something. There's a lot of folks that could get out of it if they really wanted to. If they were really committed to doing the will of God, oh, they say they're committed. They run their mouth about me, but that's hypocritical, amen. They're not committed because they're not here tonight. I'm just telling you the observation. Amen. Commit your way unto the Lord. Do you want the will of God for your life? You may have to rethink that thing, huh? Do you really want the will of God for your life? Listen, you know it'd be a real good thing. Listen to me. If you're having a hard time with this message tonight, if this is bothering you, let me tell you what you really need to do. You need to just get down somewhere and say, you know what? God, I'm just not really for you to do the will of God in my life tonight. I'm just not ready for it, Lord. But listen to me. But don't stop there. Please don't stop there. Don't get discouraged. Don't stop there. And then say, Lord, would you help me get where I want the will of God for my life? And then you can go on. Amen. I've had to do that. But you're going to have to come to yourself. I've had to come to myself. Amen. You're going to have to come to the place in your life where you realize that you need some help. He said, commit thy way unto the Lord. Not only that, look, drop down verse number 7. We're just about to get through them here. Look at verse number 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently. Woo! And wait patiently and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself. There's that fret not again. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Listen to me. He says, don't fret. Now listen to me. If we spend too much time worrying, and we're fretting, saying, why can't I have it my way? Why can't I do this? And we're not resting. Listen to me. Listen to me good. When it does come time to go, when God does get ready to do something and everything does fall in order, you know what happens? You have wore yourself out. You're so tired now because you haven't rested. Let me give you some scripture. Hebrews chapter 4. Look over quickly with me. Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 7, I think it is. No, verse number 3, I'm sorry. Verse number 3. Hebrews 4 and 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. Yes, sir. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest on the seventh day from all of his works. From all his works. And in this place, again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Why didn't they go in? Because of unbelief. That goes right back to our first point. Trust the Lord with your life. I need to trust the Lord with my life. Look at verse 7. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Look at verse 8 and 9. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Now verse 10, he sums it up. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased, notice this, from his own works, as God did from his. What's that mean? Just in a nutshell, it just simply means when you quit doing the will of God in the power of the flesh, and you put down the banner and say, dear God, I'm just going to rest in you. I'm just going to trust you. Hey, didn't Jesus say, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. He said, take my yoke upon you. He said, come and learn of me. He said, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen. Thank God Jesus will do it for us. Amen. It is God that worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. He's going to perform this work until the day of the Lord Jesus. Amen. He's going to do it. I'm not worried about it. I'm going to let him do it. So we just need to rest in the Lord. Amen. Let's move on. Look at the next one. I'll drop on down to verse 23 with me. If we're going to find the will of God for our lives, verse 23, notice what he says. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Do you see that? We're going to have our steps ordered by the Lord. You know what that simply means? Don't get ahead of God. He's got to order the steps. And don't end up over here somewhere where he ain't told you to go. Don't be over here doing something he ain't give you to do. Amen. Don't get over here and try to do somebody else's work. Don't try to get over here and try to do something somebody else is doing. Stay in your place. Amen. Amen. He said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I love this. And he delighteth in his way. How about that? Look at verse 31. The law, now when you delight your way in the Lord, look at this, verse 31. The law of his God is in his heart. Where's the law of his God? In his heart. Why? Because he delighteth his way in the Lord. Amen? So what is he doing? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God is ordering the steps. The man is delighting himself in the Lord. Amen? And the law of his God is in his heart. Look at the next part of that. None of his steps shall slide. Hey, you don't have to worry about sliding. You don't have to worry about falling. Amen. I can take you in the Bible and show you in the book, I think it's 1st or 2nd Peter, where you don't have to, 2nd Peter, matter of fact, in chapter number 1, you'll find out that if you'll do certain things, you don't have to worry about backsliding. He said, do these things that you shall never fall. That's what he said. Amen. One of the reasons, listen to me, one of the reasons that people don't get in the perfect will of God is because they're afraid they're going to slide. They're afraid they're going to mess it up, Brother Gary. Yeah. Well, I just won't do it because I'm afraid I'll mess it up. And they think somehow that's noble.
Yeah. But we will take care of it. Yes, sir.
Good idea. Man.
Good. Amen.
Won't be no slipping and sliding. Look at verse 24. Yeah. Now, here's what I was talking about. Yeah. Though he fall. Okay. Let's just say you do fall. I love this, brother. I'm telling you, this is why I keep preaching. This is the reason God, this is the reason that I'm still preaching today. Right here. Amen. Because I've made a mess of some messages. I've made a mess sometimes of the way I live and some things I do. I've made a mess in my life at times. But thank God this verse of Scripture's in here and it lets me keep going on. Look at verse 24. Though he fall. Though he fall. I was talking to you a while ago, we worry ourselves and we put pressure on ourselves to make sure that we've got the will of God. But sometimes no matter how hard we try, we just miss it. But even if we do fall, look what he said. He shall not utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Amen?
Yes,
sir. Hey, even though we might make a mistake, even though we might do the wrong, Brother Gary, you might make the wrong decision sometimes. Sometimes you just, for whatever reason, I might make the wrong decision. I might do something wrong. I might not get it right, but God said, hey, I'm not going to push him down. I'm not going to work him down, but I'm going to hold him up. Amen.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You know why he's going to do that? Do you know why he's going to do that? Because God knows our frame. He knows we're but dust. He knows we're trying. He knows his flesh. He knows what we're against. He knows the devil's fighting. But he knows our hearts. Amen. He knows that we're trying to do the will of God. Amen. And he says, I'm going to help him. I couldn't tell you the times that God intervened to keep me out of trouble. I'm serious. Last but not least. Look at verse number 34. Verse 34 says, wait on the Lord. Now let me recap these for you. Now this is basically how he wrote it down. Number one, trust in the Lord. Number two, delight thyself in the Lord. Number three, commit thy way unto the Lord. Number four, rest in the Lord. Number five, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Number six, wait on the Lord. You think the Lord's got anything to do with this? That's why he wrote it down here. That's why he wrote it down. In the Lord, on the Lord, of the Lord. I mean, it's all the Lord. Amen. Verse 34 says, wait on the Lord and keep his way. I'm going to tell you what. Listen to me. Brother Gary, you and David know this. And many of you sitting here tonight, you've been around longer than I have. You know this. Sometimes the only thing you know to do is to keep his way.
Yep.
I've given this advice a many a time. And these preachers, I'm sure, would give the same advice.
Yes.
If I don't know what to do, if I don't know whether to go left, right, up, down, if I don't know where to go forward or backwards, I wait. I stand still. I don't move. Amen? He said, wait on the Lord. But while you're waiting, don't stand there and get stagnant. Amen? Look what he said. Wait on the Lord and keep his way. And he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. When we don't know what to do. Sometimes I know many of you tonight, you dealing with things in your life, and some of you parents probably dealing with things with your children. You children are dealing with some things that we, even me as a young boy, I never had to deal with some of the things that you're having to deal with. But if you want direction for your life, I promise you, these are some things that you can do. And that's what this psalmist is referring to when he says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. He's talking to somebody that's looking out there for the answer. They're standing here, they're going, what do I do? What am I supposed to do? It's easy for me to tell you, find the will of God for your life. That's easy preaching.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. But for me to stand back and tell you, this is how you do it. That's what's going to make the difference. Amen. Wait on the Lord. Look at Galatians 6:9. I'm going to be done. Actually, back up to verse 7. Talking about finding the will of God for your life. Waiting on the Lord. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, notice this, I'm talking about waiting on God. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing. Is that waiting or what? For in due season. That indicates to me somebody's having to do some waiting. We shall reap. If we faint not. Don't faint because of the way. Amen. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, I believe it. He said, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. We're not to be looking out here at the way the world is doing things. We are to be trusting the Lord. Amen. We're to be delighting our way in the Lord. We're to be committing our way unto the Lord. Amen. We're to be resting in the Lord. Amen. That's right. We're to be doing all of these things in the Lord, not in ourselves. If you'll do that, young'uns, listen to me. Listen to me good. Are you listening? If you'll do that, I promise you, you'll find the will of God for your life. I promise you. Man. Give you my heart tonight. I want you to help me pray that God will let me preach that to young people all over the place. That is a message that our young people need today. That's a message that a lot of people need today. But our young people are so influential, or easily influenced, I should say.
Yeah.
You know what they're trying to do? Y'all remember how it was. You want new friends?
Yeah. Sure.
You don't want to make anybody mad because everybody wants to be friends. Young people want to have friends.